Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you're like me and you like a good ghost story, you might have heard about Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix. It's not your typical mystery show. It's about two ghosts and a real-life psychic trying to stay one step ahead of demons, witches, and death herself.
I know most ghosts are trapped on Earth or cursed, right? But which one are you?
Hoi, we chose to stay. Got unfinished business, ain't we? Cases to solve, ghosts to help out. We're pretty bang on detectives.
The new Netflix show, spun off from its acclaimed Sandman series, NPR TV critic Eric Deggans is on the case. Eric, hi.
Hey.
So this show is about two teenage boys. One died in 1916, the other in 1990, and then together they solve these supernatural crimes. Give me the scoop.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting, I mean, it's a surprisingly fun series, first of all, is the first thing to point out is that, you know, the tone is jokey and fun, even though these are ghosts and they're helping dead people sort of come to terms with how they died or something from their life, or they're trying to solve supernatural crimes like tracking down a witch who's abducting young girls. These two protagonists, they died at the same boarding school, but, you know, decades apart. And one of them spent decades in hell. And so they have a rather unique relationship. One of the things that's fun about a show like this is you get to learn how the rules of this new world work, right? You get a sense of, you know, what are these ghosts capable of and what are they trying to do and how does it work? And one of the big things is that they are always trying to avoid death because they're afraid death is going to cart them back to the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And they like hanging out on Earth and doing their detective work. And here's a little clip where they talk about that.
You ever think, what if death did catch us? She forced us to go to the afterlife and split up.
I will make sure that never happens.
All right. So fascinating. What a premise. Speaking of premise, the show spun off from the Sandman series, which is based on this comic book series by Neil Gaiman. Do you need to know any of the backstory to enjoy this one?
No, I don't think you do. But and this show has a really sort of odd trajectory because it actually was supposed to be a spinoff of a show called Doom Patrol that was on the Max streaming service. Mm. And because, you know, Max wasn't really interested in picking up this series, it wound up going to Netflix. And then once the Sandman series came up, they were able to connect the two shows and they take place in the same continuum, basically. Mm. And what's interesting about this is in the very first episode, they save this psychic who's been possessed by a demon. And then she sort of joins their little crew. And the younger ghost is infatuated with her. The older ghost that died much earlier in the 1900s, you know, he's a little annoyed by that. And he turns to the psychic to try to explain to her how important what they do is. And we have a clip.
It's a lot to you, playing detective. Do you know what happened when I died, Crystal? Nothing. My disappearance was labeled an act from God. And Charles, the boarding school covered up what happened to him. Our deaths didn't matter. And no one ever solved them. Now you are sharp and fun, but this is not a game.
You know, Eric, you mentioned that the show is fun, it's quirky, it's got this great premise. I'm curious, though, do you think it's good enough to have the staying power it needs?
Well, what's interesting is that because it's connected to Neil Gaiman's Sandman universe, there's going to be a ton of fans who are already familiar with these characters. These characters come from DC Comics. So I think it's going to get a lot of attention. And because it's so surprisingly fun and interesting, I think it's going to attract word of mouth and more people will be into it. So, yeah, I think it's actually going to do well.
Speaking of mysteries, we're going to talk about another show here. Max debuted season two of Velma this week. It's this irreverent, R-rated rethinking of Scooby-Doo, but there's no dog, which I don't know how you do that, but let's listen.
If I don't solve this murder, who will?
Fred Jones, spooky stuff hunter, is here. Yeah, I'm still doing that. Go, go, go.
All right, Eric, critics, viewers, everybody hated season one. I think it's pretty safe to say that. So why do we have a second here?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, it's executive produced and by and starring Mindy Kaling. And so maybe it's just that Warner Brothers Discovery wants to be in business with Mindy Kaling. The show did better than any of us realized. I was among those critics who hated it. After watching a few episodes in the new season, I think I realized it wasn't just that they did Scooby-Doo without Scooby-Doo, which makes no sense, as you said.
No.
But what they also did was they made every character unlikable in a way that's not particularly compelling or funny. And I think that is the biggest problem this show has, is that you don't really understand, like, why are you making these characters so explicit and sexual and unlikable and yet not entertaining? And so you know, count me among the critics who didn't like it that much. I don't really understand why they did it again. But, you know, I'm a Mindy Kaling fan, so anything that gives her a little bit more work, I'm down with it.
We're going to get letters. I know somebody loved season one of Velma. I know it. Eric Deggans, NPR's TV critic, thank you very much.
Thank you.